Today, Jill Briscoe continues her message, Winning the Worry War, and turns to Philippians for some practical guidance for you on how to deal with worry. That's up next. Your generous support helps keep broadcasts like this one today going out around the world so you and others can experience life. And if you've never given to telling the truth before, the next 2 days are special for you because your first ever gift will be doubled by a matching grant. As thanks for your gift today, we'll send you two great resources, the Briscoe's two-message series, Worry Less, and Jill's booklet, Me Worry. These encouraging resources are filled with biblical wisdom and practical advice to help you overcome worry and live with God's peace. So call today to request yours. And if it's your first time, remember your gift will be doubled. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill with today's message.
And I remember going at this point to a conference in Michigan called Winning Women, where I was the guest speaker, and I had to talk about faith. And I was busy worrying. But of course, I was supposed to stand up and tell everybody how not to do it. And I went into the prayer room at that conference where there was a wonderful prayer ministry and a woman called Margaret, who became a lifelong friend that day. And I had shared a little picture that God had given me from the scripture. You know, when Joshua went round and round and round Jericho, he took the ark with him. He took the word of God, and that's what you got to do when you're going round and round your problem. Lord, I'm taking the ark with me. What do you say to me? And that day, God had said to me from Exodus, Moses' mother, desperately worried about Moses, the baby, couldn't hide him any longer. She put him in the ark and let him go along among the crocodiles. And I said to Margaret, that's what I feel like. I feel that I've got to let her go. And I feel all these nice little boys I thought were so cute at church are like crocodiles. They've turned into these crocodiles. And she said, well, you've put her in the ark, put her in Christ. You got to let her go. But she said, I'll be Miriam. I'll stand on the bank and I'll watch your daughter. She said, you're no use. She said, you can't pray in this state. Right. Where was Moses' mother? It was Miriam. It was the sister that stood on the bank. We can do that for each other. And it was about 2 weeks later that I got a little present through the mail from Margaret. It was a little rubber crocodile with its mouth tied up. And on the ribbon, it just said, I'm praying. I'm praying. Now, I was so worried about Judy. And I didn't need to be. I wasted all that time going round and round and round and round Jericho. And what happened? Well, she did all right. She did all right. And I think one of the biggest fears we have are for our children. Will they love God? Will they make it? Will they choose right? Et cetera, et cetera. But they do all right. And I want to encourage you, mothers. They'll be all right. All things being equal, they'll be all right. Doesn't mean that everything will be all right for them, but they'll be all right. And what we have to do is not waste our energy going round and round Jericho, but shape our worries into the right shape. Let him shape our worries into prayers. Doesn't eradicate the problem. Jericho is still there. Jericho still has to be faced. You still have to walk around Jericho. But you're not to fret or worry. Instead of worry, pray. Now let me read to you from the message from Philippians 4. Celebrate God all day, every day. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worry, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. That is one of the best paraphrases of Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, etc., that I have ever read. Let me read it to you again. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worry, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center, the core of your life. Christ displaces worry at the core of your life. Doesn't mean Jericho's not there. It just means you look at Jericho in a whole other way. So shape your worries into prayers. Make a worry list if it helps you, and then worry your way through it. You're allowed to do it. You know, it's amazing to me, as I took my arc around a particular Jericho I have in my life at the moment, one more time, about a year ago, going round and round and round this problem, I was preparing this message or this series, and I asked God about it. And he said, well, don't be terrified. Don't worry. That's a command. Don't sin by worrying. Trust me. And I read the story of them going around once a day. And the Lord said to me, that's what you're allowed to do. Only once a day. Go around once. And then you go back to camp and you get on with your life. Because what happens if you go round and round and round and round and round, you never get back to camp and attend to what you need to be doing. All those other children that are doing all right. Once a day, it's a command. It's a bit like when you're struggling with infertility and you're in this resolve group, which is a very good group if that's a problem. Those of you that have been through that know about this support group. It's not a Christian group, but it's a very good support group. And they have a 20-minute rule. They say, worry about it and think about it for 20 minutes every day. And then discipline your mind. Same thing, once round Jericho. And I started to put that principle into action a year ago, and I haven't always managed to do it. I mean, there have been some days when, at the end of the day, I'm still tramping around the place. And I'm exhausted. Of course you will be exhausted. You only have enough strength to go around it once. And there are other people in my life. You have to get on with living. You have to attend to the ministry that God has given you. And you have to function. And so once a day, make your worry list, go around it once, and then tear it up and put it in the waste paper basket. So what do? We need a supply of courage. Now, at the beginning of the chapter in Joshua, after God has told him, don't worry, don't be terrified, don't be frightened, we come down and Joshua, after talking to God about all this, orders the officers of the people in verse 10, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. Now, I just saw that 2 days ago. Get your supplies ready. And I thought, that's what we need. Joshua needed supplies. I mean, he needed swords and he needed uniforms. I don't know what he needed, but if you're going to fight a battle like they did, you need supplies. But what he needed more than any of the other physical supplies that he needed was a supply of courage. Where do you get this supply of courage? Well, first of all, we have to ask, what is courage? What is courage? And the only way I can answer that for you is to talk about what it isn't first. Courage isn't a feeling. Courage isn't a feeling. Courage is resolve. First and foremost, courage is resolve, determination, will. That's what courage is. And all of us, therefore, have a supply of it. Everybody has a will. You say, no, my kids have a won't. Everybody has a will. You don't need to go looking for it. You don't need to say, well, I don't have any courage. Courage is will. The will to do what is right. The determination, the resolve, whatever you feel like. For courage is not a feeling. And if we wait for a feeling of courage to do what is right, to say what is right, to address a problem, to go up against our Jericho, we can wait until you're dead because the feeling will probably never come. I'm not saying that courage isn't always devoid of feeling. Sometimes courage is a feeling, courage is there. But the courage needs to be a resolve first and foremost, and don't wait for the feeling.
What keeps you up at night? Whatever it is, God's Word has the answers to your worries.
and Jill will be right back to share how you can defeat any worry. But first, we want to share this note from Jennifer in Michigan, who says, I absolutely love the Briscoes' teachings. The love they have for God is so contagious. I pray God allows Towing the Truth to continue spreading the word. Thank you, Jennifer. That's the kind of encouragement your support today will help bring more people around the world as you help and share the teaching and resources of Towing the Truth so others can experience life in Christ. What's so great is that for 2 days only, when you give your first ever gift, it will be doubled by a special matching grant. Whether you're a first-time giver or a longtime partner, we'd like to encourage you this month with two helpful resources. Stuart and Jill Briscoe's two-message series, Worry Less, and Jill's booklet, Me Worry. The stresses of life can leave you feeling worried, anxious, even afraid. And this turmoil can rob you of the joy and peace God wants for you. In this powerful series, the Briscoes help you discover the secret to worrying less and living with more joy. These encouraging messages shine a critical light on a root cause of worry and give you practical guidance on how to rule your anxieties instead of having them rule you. This special resource plus Jill's booklet are our thanks for your gift today to help more people experience life through the teaching resources of Towing the Truth. Don't miss the chance to have your first-time gift doubled today. And remember to request your copy of Worry Less and Me Worry when you call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill with more truth for you.
I've often told the story in our youth ministry how I'm a very fearful person, as well as being a worrier. I'm, you know, wrecked with fears of everything. And I was very frightened of the young people that we were working among. I loved them, but I was frightened of them because I was due to be frightened. I mean, I was right to be frightened of them. They were tough, tough kids. And there was a particularly very incredible place called the Floral Hall in a seaside place called Morecambe, and we were trying to do some what we call raw evangelism, just go out, meet kids, try and get to know them, try and talk to them on the streets in these places. And what we did is we put a great big map up of our environment and the youth group, and we started to pray over this map. And then we sent them out for 3 months, these kids, just to go out when they were free at night. And they're not really free at night in England because they do homework. They do 3 hours homework every night, Monday to Friday. But when they could do it, they were to go out on the weekends or whenever and find where the kids were and what they were doing in that part of the map. So we divided the kids up into teams. We divided the map up into teams. And then after 3 months, we came back and we kept putting little things on the map. Well, there's a place here. It's a house. Some parents are always away. And every Saturday night, there is a sex party here. And there's probably about 20 or 30 kids go here. And that's in my section. And there's also a coffee bar. And of course, I'm also on the beach here. So this is my territory. And then everybody else was doing the same. And then we had a strategy meeting. How then can we forcefully go out to where these kids are, into these places, maybe to the house, to the party, or wherever it is, if that's your territory. And what do we do when we get there? Can we use music? Can we just turn up? Can we just use preaching, teaching, drama, mime, juggling, magic? There's a wonderful in Europe. They have Christian magic that is being used in evangelism. We saw that at this conference we just came back from. What can we use to physically put ourselves in that situation? And so that's the sort of work we were doing. And in my territory with my team, there was this place with 1,000 kids dancing and getting drunk, and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Herman's Hermits and Pretty Things, all these groups, 17, 18 years of age, were playing. We didn't know who they were. Nobody knew who they were in those days. But that's what was happening. And the kids would, when their idols would come on the stage to sing, it was a concrete floor. You're standing there with 1,000 kids would beat their heads on the floor in ecstasy, and they'd have blood all over their faces. And these groups would come and let them touch a little bit of them, and it was just idol worship. It was incredible atmosphere in there. Now, this was in my territory. And when I'd been in there, and as I realized that I had to get myself in there and do something, I freaked out. I'm a very fearful person. And so I prayed for courage. God, give me the courage. And it didn't come. It was 4 weeks I stood there praying for courage until it dawned on me that God was saying to me, Jill, will you go in there for me without the courage? Because it's the right thing to do. Without the feeling. Courage is doing without the courage for Jesus. And when, I knew it in principle, I'd forgotten it in my crisis or my terror. And so courage is resolve. I resolved to go in. Courage is willpower. I said to my feet, move. And I got myself in without the feelings, I assure you. And once after obedience, doing what I knew to be right, because he said, go into all the world, and that was my world and my responsibility, and God will hold me accountable for making sure those people have heard that they don't need to go to hell and they can go to heaven. I arrived on the other side of the door, and I heard myself say, take me to the manager. And I thought, who said that? I knew what to do. I knew what to say. I did it. I said it. He gave me his stage. I led him to Christ eventually. The whole thing is just one of those stories. But what happened? The thing that had to happen to me was this terror, this fear, this worry. What will happen when I get in there? Superimposing the future on the present and letting it paralyze me had to be dealt with. And God used prayer. You cannot pray and worry at the same time. It's impossible. I tried it this morning. I started to pray about what I was worrying about, and I had to stop praying to worry. So, of course, the thing to do is to keep praying all day, every day. Celebrate God. Revel in him. Shape your worries into prayers. Let him do that. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will garrison your heart and mind. That's put little soldiers, little angels around your heart and your mind. Yes, he will. Courage is resolve. Courage is not only a feeling. Courage is certainly a command. Do not be terrified, and to disobey it is sin. Confess it. Know what to do with sin. Confess it. And ask God for the power to overcome, to be strong, to be what you should be, to do, to say what you should do and say. So if we're going to win the worry war and fight our fears, then we have to know that courage is resolve, courage is a command, and lastly, courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. And you know the story I'm going to share with you in closing, some of you. Stuart and I were invited down to Wycliffe Loma Linda base, where it is surrounded by gorillas. And just 6 months previously to our invitation to go for Wycliffe's field conference, they had kidnapped Ray Rising. He happened to be a veteran missionary who was in charge of security. So they kidnapped the security man, which wasn't very encouraging. It was an impossible task anyway, but he had broken his own rules. You're not supposed to go out if there's only one of you. And he had gone on his motorbike to get supplies from the village where he had worked all his life, known all his life, loved all his life by the folks out there. And coming back at the gate of Loma Linda, they took him, and that was it. We stayed in his house, and they had the Christmas star lit, even though it was not Christmas, and they said it's not going out until he's back. And this was the site that Wycliffe hierarchy chose for their entire conference for all the Americas, all the South Americas. And so we were excited to go down there. We have been to many situations like this, not quite so volatile as this, but general danger. And then we got a letter from the people that the missionary societies are asked to use by the government to investigate whether it's safe to do these things. And we got a letter from them saying, we have had a look at this. We have intelligence that tells us that you and Stuart are targeted for kidnapping. So you're not to come. And the conference must not be held because not only are you and Stuart in personal danger, but the head of Wycliffe was going, and all the hierarchy, all the big brass from the whole of the organization was due to be there. And they were sent the same letter because they were under the same duress. So I remember saying to Stuart, oh, what a shame, we won't be going. And I remember him looking at me saying, huh? And I thought, he's going to go. I know he's, I mean, it's like a red rag to a bull to my husband, something like this. We're the gorillas, you know. I just see him almost as if he's the fighter of the bull and he's got his thing out, waving it in the bull's face. I knew he'd go. But the question was, would I? And I knew that he didn't want me to go. But I also knew that he wasn't going to tell me not to go. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. You have to decide. You have to find out. And you let me know. And so we started to pray. We fasted. We asked advice. This went on for months. And we got up to 1 week away, and I still could not make up my mind. I was obsessed. I was going round and round and round and round Jericho. What was faith and what was stupidity? What was being a sensible? What about our responsibilities here? You know, just this whole thing. And of course, with my imagination, I was already sitting in a hut in the jungle, starving, chained to a guard. You know, I mean, I superimposed the future onto the present. I was having a wonderful time because I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat. And Stuart said, Jill, I have a deadline on you, Christmas Day. That's 1 week away. We have to let them know whether we're going on.
In a moment, Jill will be back with some closing thoughts on today's message. But before we get to that, worry and anxiety can limit your joy and keep you from experiencing true peace. And that's not what God wants for your life. We want to help you conquer worry and anxiety so you can start to live with the joy and peace God intends by sending you Stuart and Jill Briscoe's encouraging series, Worry Less. This uplifting two-message series offers biblical truth about the root cause of worry and will help you uncover the secret to worrying less and living more. Worry Less is our thanks for your gift to help more people experience the peace and joy of life in Christ through the unchanging truth of God's Word. And when you give today, we'll also send you Jill Briscoe's booklet, Me Worry. These resources will help carry you from angst and uneasiness to the peace God intends for your life. Plus, if you're a first-time giver, for 2 days only, your gifts will be doubled by a special matching grant. There's no better time than now to jump in with your very first gift to help keep telling the truth going around the world. And remember to request your resources when you call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill with the conclusion of her message.
Incidentally, Wycliffe has said we do not give in to guerrillas. We still want you to come. That was the situation, and so we're still going to have the conference. And so Christmas Day, he comes off to preach. It was on a Sunday, and I knew I couldn't. I had to tell him. And I went upstairs to his study, and he was doing the Family Book of Christian Values, where there's a great big section on faithfulness and love. All these things we had to decide what goes in the book. They were in piles all over the study. And there was a pile on courage. There was a quote, little quote, and it was the little poem. And the last two lines say something about courage is fear that has said its prayers. And all these incidents I've shared with you came running back. And I knew what was right because we had prayed and sought God's guidance. I knew that I should go. I knew that I should go. And I knew that my fear was not a good reason to stay. And so I said my prayers and I came to church. And I remember sending Stuart a little note in between first and second service. He just preached a wonderful sermon about Jesus coming to earth. Knowing what would happen to him, he still came. Sure, he didn't want to come, but he did. Because it was the right thing to do. And I said, he came for us, let's go for him. And so we went. And I went frightened. And I stayed frightened. But I was not obsessed. And I functioned. And God enabled me to encourage and to minister. We are still getting letters from those people. Thank you for coming. I can't believe you came. It was such a blessing. And of course, they were such a blessing to us. But courage is doing without the courage. Courage is doing it scared. Courage is doing it when you don't feel like doing it because it's the right thing to do. And the incredible thing is, then the power to do what you're doing is there. Comes after you get yourself inside the floral hall. You know what to do. You know what to say. And you find the adrenaline is there, and you find the anointing is there, and that's a powerful combination. And God comes through, and that's what you do with worry. There is a supply of courage. You have it already. God has given you the will to do his will. Now then, will you do it? That's the question.
Thanks, Jill. We hope today's message encouraged you. Before we go, just a reminder that we'll send you the Briscoes' two-message series, Worry Less, and Jill's booklet, Me Worry, as thanks for your gift to support Telling the Truth. And thanks to the special matching grant, every first-time gift will be doubled for the next 2 days. Start to worry less and live with more joy by requesting your resources when you call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for joining us today on Telling the Truth. Be sure to come back tomorrow for more wisdom from God's Word.